Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my superfine wife, Beth.
Oh, and we are going to have a sensational Sunday.
Yes, we are.
Our Do Not Fear scripture for the day is Isaiah 54:14. Isaiah 54:14. In righteousness you will be established, tyranny will be far from you, you will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you.
Hallelujah.
That sounds like a redo of Psalm 91. Hallelujah.
It is. On today's call, we're going to discuss 7 reasons you need salt. S period, A period, L period, T period.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. This
is
good.
Yeah, we have. Philippians 2:3 classic amplified. Do nothing from factional motives through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowness of mind, they each regard the others as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do yourself. In reading this verse, we learn there are 7 things we're told not to do. Number 1, do nothing from factional motives. According to dictionary.com, factional means self-interested. Sadly, many people are only interested whether or not something benefits them. Matthew 20:26, Contemporary English Version. Don't act like them. If you want to be great, you must be the servant of all the others. When a verse is repeated twice in Scripture, you can know that it must be important to God. And if it's important to Him, it better be important to us. Mark 10:43, Contemporary English Version. Don't act like them. If you want to be great, you must be the servant of all the others. Scripture points out that greatness is personified in the service of others. Matthew 23:11 says, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." If you want to be considered great in the kingdom of God, serve someone else when nobody is looking.
Mm-mm. Number 2, do nothing from contentiousness. According to the dictionary.com, the word contentiousness is listed in Philippians 2:3, Classic Amplified Bible, is defined as tending to argument quarrelsome. Have you ever known somebody who's tended to be an argumentative and quarrelsome? Ugh, they're not fun to be around. Have you ever been around, you know, anyone who just, well, maybe a family member or a friend or a coworker, or even someone that you have to sit near to in a restaurant? That always is a little irritating when you're trying to enjoy yourself. Certain people seem to relish arguing about everything with anybody who's willing. It's easy to get drawn into discussions with contentious people if you're just listening to them spew through facts that are not really facts at all. But we need to avoid that temptation, because we certainly don't want to act like them. And as my husband always likes to say, you know, the enemy likes to draw you down to the lowest common denominator of whoever is in the conversation, in a crowded conversation. We would like to encourage you to follow the wisdom of a good friend that we found, that we had, friend of the ministry, Pam from Florida, once gave us an interesting and most powerful anagram, and we've loved it and we've used it since. It's called SALT. Stop acting like them.
It's so true.
Good anagram. Best way to stop acting like them is not allowing ourselves to become argumentative or self-defensive. You know, instead, just let God be the defender for us.
Number 3, do nothing through strife. James 3:16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work.
Wow, that's always impressed me.
I have a historical background in politics, and a unique understanding of how the system works, what motivates and or frustrates voters. One of the things I dislike intently is when people interrupt or talk over other people without letting them express their opinion. Even if I completely disagree with what you're saying, I'm going to wait my turn to speak. Doing anything else is just plain rude and creates strife. I find it interesting that the Greek word for strife, G2052, is defined in Strong's Concordance as electioneering or intriguing for office, a desire to put oneself forward. I say that's an apt description of the state of political dialogue in this country. However, it becomes even more interesting when you realize the root word for strife, G2042, means to stir up, to provoke. When you provoke someone, you're causing trouble that can come back to haunt you.
Sowing the seed of strife. Number four, do nothing selfish. We can give you a good reason not to be selfish, and it's really confirmed in almost identical scriptures in Matthew 16:24, Mark 8:34, and Luke 9:24. That's Matthew 16:24, Mark 8:34, and Luke 9:24. In other words, three of the four Gospels. In Matthew 16:24, the New Living Translation says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me.'" Bottom line, God is not looking for selfish people, doesn't want us to be selfish. In fact, Philippians 2:4, classic and amplified, also admonishes us to be concerned about the interest of others. It says, as we've read before, "Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned not merely for your own interest, but also each for the interests of others." When we watch out for people and look out for people, then we're doing God's work. Our thoughts and actions will either be dominated by what's our flesh, what we want, or our spirit, which is selfless. But we have the ability to choose.
Yes, we do. Number five, do nothing for unworthy ends or reasons. If something's not unworthy, then it's worthy. So clearly the scripture is telling us to do things that are worthy of our lineage as a joint heir with Christ and our calling. Ephesians 4:1, classic amplified. "I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you've been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service." Wow. In the final analysis, you want to be declared worthy. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. "With this in view, we constantly pray for you, that our God may deem and count you worthy of your calling and his every gracious purpose of goodness, and with power make him plead in your every particular work of faith." Faith, which is that leaning of the whole human personality on God, and absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. If you want to hang around worthy people, prove yourself to be worthy.
Wow, that's good. Do nothing through conceit. That's number six. Do nothing through conceit. There's only one thing you need to know about being conceited, and it's found in Proverbs 16:5, says it all. Contemporary English version, it says, "The Lord doesn't like anyone who's conceited. You can be sure they will be punished." Who wants to be punished? Do you need more clarification on what that scripture might mean? I'm going to read it to you in the classic Amplified Bible. It says, "Everyone proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting, hateful, and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. And be assured, I pledge it, they will not go unpunished." If we're conceited, that it is actually being said that it's disgusting, hateful, and exceedingly offensive to the Lord.
Wow.
And I know There is not a single person hearing my voice today that wants to be viewed that way by God.
No, not at all. Number 7, do nothing through empty arrogance. Here are 7 things you need to know about being arrogant. First, arrogance will always be exposed. 1 Samuel 2:3, New Living Translation. Stop acting so proud and haughty. Don't speak with such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows what you've done. He will judge your actions. Second, arrogant people always lie. Wow. Psalm 59:12, New Living Translation. Because of the sins from their mouths and the words on their lips, let them be trapped by their own arrogance because they speak curses and lies. Number 3, arrogance aborts wisdom from your life. Proverbs 13:10, New Living Translation. Arrogance produces only quarreling, but those who take advice gain wisdom.
Number 4, arrogance knows no boundaries. Proverbs 21:24, New Living Translation says, an arrogant, conceited person is called a mocker. His arrogance knows no limits.
Wow.
Number 5, arrogance at any level must be arrested. 2 Corinthians 10:5, New Living Translation says, and all their intellectual arrogance that oppose the knowledge of God, we take every thought captive so that it is obedient to Christ. Number 6, arrogance hangs out with some pretty nasty folks. Mark 7:22 in the New Living Translation says, greed, wickedness, cheating, shameful lust, envy, cursing, arrogance, and foolishness come from within a person.
Number 7, wealth without a moral center. Ezekiel 28:5, Contemporary English Version. You are a clever businessman and are extremely wealthy, but your wealth has led to arrogance. We began this teaching with Philippians 2:1-4. And we want to close with that passage, this time from the Message Bible, which says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. So it's time for us to stop liking them.
Stop acting like them. Salt.
Stop acting like them and begin acting more like him.
There you go. The salt of the earth.
Join us tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Yes.
For Rich Salts TV.
It's good.
It's a great teaching tonight. It really is.
You're gonna love it.
You are. You can join us by watching on YouTube at Rich Salts TV online. You can watch at Savior Connect. And you can also watch at Facebook at Brother Harold.
Can we get on haroldherring.com and watch it?
Yes,
join
you can.
Harold and Bev.
Yeah.
Oh, one of my favorites.
I know.
Join Harold and Bev.
So until tonight at 6 and every morning at 8:30, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.